Material world is full of problems, and then you die. Trei cu amor.
It is helpful. When you get old, these things are necessary. When you're young, you need anything.
Omidya, Timaranta Shia, Ginanjana, Shalakaya, Chakshurun, Militam, Yena, Tasmai, Shri Gurave, Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manopishtam, Sapitam, Yena, Bhutale, Swaya, Rupakitanai, Tidati Swap, Tarukitam, Pancha Kampatu, Rudyascha, Kripa Sindhu, Yeracha, Titanam, Bhavan, and Pro, Vaishna, Devi, Onamonama, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Dora Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
So who is speaking here? Jadbharata. Who is he speaking to? Maharaj Rahuka. Very, very powerful part of Srimad Bhagavatam. If you want to become detached from this material world, you need to study this part. Hands up if you want to become detached from the material world. Then you have to study it carefully. Actually, we see, I've seen many times, I was mentioning this last night, I've mentioned many times, sometimes devotees struggle in devotional service. It ends up being sometimes struggle. Yeah, everyone struggles to some degree. But I notice sometimes devotees say, come. And the devotees say, can I please have some advice how to lift out of the material world? How to overcome my problems in the material world? But then I see when you start to speak to the devotees, and you counsel them and ask them questions. One thing I've always noticed over the years is that if devotees are having problems because they're not reading the books, because if you're reading the books, you will have much less problems. Right? Because what do the books tell you? Just read this chapter. This chapter is a powerful chapter. This is a very powerful chapter in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read this chapter, what does it tell you? You can't enjoy the material world. So if you can't enjoy the material world, why would you put effort and energy into enjoying the material world? Because when devotees come and say they have problems, what's the problem? They're trying to enjoy it, separate from Krishna. Right? Devotees don't come and say, I've got problems. Because if you're serving Krishna, you don't have problems. So then devotees don't come and say, oh, you know, I'm struggling, I'm going through. No. If devotees are serving Krishna, they're blissful. You say to the devotee, how are you? They say, I'm blissful. I'm happy. If you're serving Krishna, you're always blissful happy. Even though the material world may be having problems on top of you. And you may feel like you're in the ocean being smashed by the waves, but still deep down, you feel happy and satisfied because you're serving Krishna. So I notice that the devotees who don't read the books, don't make it a regular part. Hearing is also when you listen to lectures. Right? Sometimes I don't read the books, like physically. Yeah, I might not physically pick up the book. You know, I go through periods where it gets very busy. So, you know, I might not just sit down and just read. You know, sometimes it happens. Not all the time. But sometimes it happens like that. I don't read the book, but then you hear it. You know, and now these days, we are extremely benefited because technology has become mystic. It's actually mystical power, but it's done in a demoniac way. Because if you look at Bhagavad Gita, Dharma Kshetri, Kuru Kshetri, beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Sanjaya is looking at what is taking place in Kuru Kshetri. Where is he sitting? Hastinapura. So Hastinapura is Delhi. How far from Delhi to Kurukshetra? He had three foreigners as well. Or back then they didn't have cars. So it's like maybe, what, 200 kilometers, 300 kilometers, something. It's a long way, quite a distance. But he was sitting there. He went into meditation. He could see what was taking place. So we can do that also these days. You can watch live footage of my iPad. Like I can, on my phone right now, I can just go boom, boom, press a few buttons. My iPad, same, potency. But this is the Asuric way, and that is the Sattvic way to do it. That is through like divine power. It's the same thing, basically. You know, we could sit there and watch Kurukshetra now. If there was a battle, we could sit there a while. Arjuna's like, you know, sit there with some popcorn. This is the same potency. So we are very fortunate now because of this mystic potency. You can listen to lectures anytime. So even if I don't agree, but every day I'm listening, hearing. You know, I drive in the car, I drove from the farm to here last like 1.5 hours. So just listening to different lectures, not lectures, but Prabhupada disciples speaking memories about Prabhupada and learning so much. Right? You know, after many years of following Prabhupada, following his teachings, but I'm learning so much. Things I've never heard before. I heard the other day very striking things that Prabhupada said. Getting to know him so much more. So this is because of the mystic potency. So the point is Shravana. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. Every day you have to hear Bhagavata. Whether you read it or hear it, we should do both actually, but at least do one, if not both. So you have to hear it. And then you don't have so many problems. That's what this chapter is for. What is this chapter? If you read this chapter properly, right, what will happen in your heart? Right. If you read this chapter properly, what will happen in your heart? You become detached. Right? Otherwise, you are mukha. If you read this, how can you remain attached to this world? This world is meant to give you problems. Right? Material world, a key. Right? How does this earth start? Sometimes, in this house in the sky, Gandharvapura. So the house is in the sky. When was the last time you saw a house in the sky? Yeah, you're on Haridwar and you look up and it's like, you know, just, you know, this house is floating. Oh, that's a nice house. You know, it's just floating past you. It doesn't happen. Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur, he says, the material world is like flowers growing in the sky. When did you see flowers growing in the sky? Right? You go and watch a movie like Avatar. Like if you watch Avatar, one of these movies all the time, right? Right? You see, like, there's flowers and bees growing in the sky. Yeah, where is that? You know, maybe some other planet. It's not this planet. You're not going to see, like, flowers as, like, floating in the sky. You're not going to see a house floating in the sky. So in other words, it's a figment of the imagination. In other words, thinking you can be happy in this world is a figment of the imagination. It doesn't exist. It's just, it's an idea, it's a concept. Abhima. You know, Radharani's so-called husband, what is his name?
Abhimanyu.
Abhiman means mental conception, means he's not actually there. He's an incarnation of Krishna's shadow. He's not there. Shadow's not real. Right? Shadow's just something that's just real. Right? Abhimanyu is just an abhiman. So to enjoy this material world is abhiman. It's just something in your mind. It's not actually there. Right? Young boy sees young girl sees young boy. Oh, I can enjoy it. No, you can't. You think you can. That's why you get married. Right? And then it becomes disaster. Right, material world, a key.
Yeah.
Greenhouse of life. On the weekend, Prabhu, he gave one seminar. What is it? What was that on the board?
Premnidhi
Prabhu. Did you do the seminar? Yeah. Was it good? Was it? I might have heard my muscle. Is it?
Okay.
It was okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it was okay. So, why do you give the seminar? To save people's marriages. You know, if you learn some techniques, you can save yourself a lot of problem. Otherwise, if you try to enjoy, you can't enjoy it in this material world. Bhaktivinoda Swami, he said, marriage is a love triangle. Right? There has to be a third person involved. Right? That's how marriage is successful. If the third person is not involved, it doesn't work. Right? There has to be husband, wife, Krishna. Krishna means also gurus, sadhus, Vaishnavas. Love triangle. Because it's just man and woman. Prabhupada says, man is good, woman is good, together they are bad. Prabhupada says. Right? Man is good, woman is good, put them together. Big problem in little triangle. You'll have a problem, right? So then you have that triangle. Because you just try to have the two of you, you'll drive each other crazy, insane. So therefore you have Krishna then, right? You keep referring back to him. Because if you have him in the relationship, it can run okay. otherwise it's an abhimana to think you can enjoy this material world. When I was brahmacharya, I was up in, if you go upstairs in Prabhupada's house, the double room. What do we call the double room? Double room. Yeah. Has it got a colour or something? No. Sometimes it's like blue room, green room. We just call it double room, right? Okay, so anyway, I'm up there in the double room. So I was with my Guru Maharaj. He's holding a small Krishna Goswami. He was sannyasi on brahmacharya. So we're there in the room together, just him and me. And there were some grihasthas out on the landing, talking. And these were quite advanced devotees, actually. They weren't like neophyte, but they were quite advanced grihasthas. But they were talking about, like, you know, things to do with material world. You know, sannyasi means. And he looked at me and he said, there was no pleasure in this world. He said, because he was listening to the conversation, he said, there was no pleasure in grihastha life. Marriage. He said, there was no pleasure. He said, it is a waste of energy. He said that. He said, there is no pleasure. It is a waste of energy. Because that's the reality. That's the reality. And then, you know, even being his disciple, hearing that instruction, but then he told me to get married. Right? He said, go and jump in. You know, burn yourself sufficiently and come back. That's the nature of the material world. Because some of us need to get it out of our system. That's why Krishna says, Chakurun Banyam Mayashisham. I give you four options. Right? Because not everyone can do just the one option or the two options. You know, brahmacharya straight to sannyas. That's a rare solution, particularly in Kali Yuga. Actually, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, in Kali Yuga, Grihastha Ashram is a good position for a Vaishnava. But you've got to make sure it's a love triangle. Grihastha ashram is good, like, you know, I'm grihastha, I'm making advancement, you know, it's relatively peaceful, relatively. Right? So it's relatively, you know, you can make good advancement. There's no problem. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says it is a good position, but it must be love triangle. And I know myself in my own marriage, right? When it's triangle, right? Okay, no problem. Peaceful. But when it's just man is good, woman is good, together they're bad. Yeah. It's just a totally different problem. Because it just becomes a clash of ego. And then when it's just a clash of ego, then good luck. You're just dealing with the material energy. So it says here, sometimes in this house in the sky, the Gandharva, it's just an illusion. Material happiness is an illusion. Right? If you go further into the purport, Prabhupada quotes Krishna. When you come to the material world, how do you get here? What's the route or the road? Right? Say we started off in Goloka. Right? If we're in Goloka Vrindavan, how do we get here? You came through Vaikuntha. Right? And then when you go through the Brahmajyoti or the Parabhyoma or the river Viraja, right? So you cause it, you cross, right? And then you hit the elements, right? The eight Mahabhutas. Right? It begins with Ahankar, right? Then intelligence, then mind. That's the root in. Right? And then you go through ether, and then air, and then fire and water and earth. And then by the time you pass through it all, you have this material body, right? You have the mind, you have all the subtle body, so the whole package covers you when you enter in. Right? But as you come in, there's a signpost. Do you remember the signpost? Do you remember? Well, we all forgot. But there was a big sign on the way in. It said, Dukalaya Ashashwatan. Welcome. Have a nice day. Enjoy. And there's a little Coca-Cola says, enjoy. What's Coke's motto? Enjoy. But they didn't give you the rest of it. Right? The first part is Dukalaya Ashashwatan. Right? Dukalaya, it'll give you suffering. Ashashwatan, it is temporary. Enjoy it. That's the mentality of the material world. Because Coke, if you drink Coke, do some YouTube search on Coke. You don't have to, I'm just saying. Get Coke, right? Right? You put your tooth in, you know, when your tooth falls out, put it in a glass of Coke. It might not be there in the morning. Coke is actually acid. Coke is good for cleaning grease off your garage floor. So if it cleans grease off your garage floor, or unblocks drains, imagine what it's doing inside there. Imagine. You know, you're going to get Coke, enjoy. What's going on? No? Dukalaya. Dukha means suffering. Right? Coke is suffering. Drink, suffering. Ashashwata means temporary. Means your digestion, which is good, becomes proper. Temporary. This is the nature of the material world. So as we came into the material world, Krishna put up a big sign for us. Dukalaya Ashashwata, have a good time. Right? It is suffering, it is temporary, but enjoy yourself. So that's the material world. So it's Gandharva talk. It's just a figment of your imagination. It is not real. You cannot enjoy hearing this material world. Like Guru Maharaj said, it is a waste of energy. He said there is no happiness. So then if we go through even if we continue the verse, the conditioned soul drinks, eats, and has sex. Prabhupada once said, the conditioned soul came to the material world for two reasons: to enjoy illicit sex and to eat meat. That's why everyone comes here. Right? I was in a group near our farm. They had like a tourism group which they formed to promote tourism. So they asked us to be a part of it because we're in that area. So I went to some of the meetings. So, you know, they're all sitting there and they're all, you know, they're in accommodation and wineries and cafes. And, you know, they want to promote more people coming. So it's beneficial for us. More people come, they don't want to Hare Krishna Valley. But they, you know, I was sitting with them and they basically said, we just want people to come here, right? Just so they can drink and eat meat. That's more or less what they said. Because we have really good meat here and we have really good alcohol. So that's basically what everyone does in the Centurion world. That's why people came to the Centurion world. People didn't come here to learn about Krishna. So, you know, sometimes we get a little depressed or a little frustrated or, you know, why aren't more people joining the movement? People didn't come to the Centurion world to join the Hare Krishna movement. If you wanted to join the Hare Krishna movement, you would have stopped at the sign on the way in. Dukalaya Ashashwatam, do a U-turn. They would have gone back to the walk-up. Right. They didn't come here, they came here to forget Krishna. And what is our job? Now we have to wake them up. Lord Chaitanya said, Jijago, Jijago, Gora Chandra Pole. And Lord Chaitanya said, Jijago, wake up, wake up. How long will you sleep in the lap of the witch called? Maya. We have to sleep on the lap, very comfortably. Don't disturb me, I'm happy. Yeah. We know the famous story. Indra fell down, became a pig, offended Brihaspati. Okay, become a pig. Right? And then Brahman came down. Hare Baba, what are you doing? Come back. And then what happened? Indra said, no, it's okay. It's okay. I've got my wife, my fat wife. Right? I'm happy with my fat wife. Right? I'm happy with my three kids, Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Right? My fat little kids. Okay. I'm in school. Hey, Leave me alone. Don't touch me. Brahma said, come on, what are you doing? Look at this. This is tomorrow. Giving darshan tomorrow. Right? Then the farmer comes in with a knife. He says, oh, okay. I'll come back, I'll be injured. This is the nature of the material world. We came here to forget Krishna. Maya is expert at making you forget Krishna. She can make you forget Krishna like that. She does it to me every day. Maya can bewilder us like that. She is so powerful. I'll just make you forget Krishna. She can do that. She can take any of us away from devotional service. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and Radha Krishna are being merciful upon us. They're not letting Maya do like the full potency. Because she can take any of us anytime. She can take me like that if she wants to. She's much more powerful. Prabhupada once said, if I have one criticism of my disciples, they do not fear Maya enough. We have to fear. And you know the story Prabhupada was praying. He said, Prabhupada, what are you praying for? He said, I'm praying that I do not fall down from Maya. And they said, Prabhupada, you just said in the class you cannot fall down. He said, yes, because I'm always praying. Do not let me fall down. Krishna protect me. So we have to pray about it. We have to be serious. Because I know for myself, it's only by mercy, kripa, that I'm able to practice devotion. So, otherwise, Maya can easily take people. She's too powerful. So it says here, being overly attached, people chase the objects of the senses just as a deer chases a mirage in the desert. That's the nature of the material world. Actually, it's interesting. Burajan Prabhu said in a class many years ago, but it struck me. The conditioned soul actually becomes attached to suffering. People enjoy suffering. They actually become attached. They go back to it. That is called pramata. Just like, you know, Prabhupada was in the city. He was driving down the road. There's that suburb in the city called Paramata. Prabhupada looked up at the sign and said, what is that? And they said, Paramata, Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, Pramata. Insanity. And if you go there, it's like that. Paramata is like that. That western side of Sydney is quite a crazy place. So, Prabhupada said, Pramata. This is madness, right? We chase, like when you're chasing a mirage in the desert, you're mad. There's nothing there, but you just keep running on and on. When I get there, I'll be happy. When I get there, I'll be happy. And we keep going back to suffering in this material world. Even though we're suffering, we keep going back to it. Oh, we can work it out. We can be happy. The Beatles told us, we can work it out. We can work it out. It is like the motto of the material world. We can work it out. We just haven't done it properly yet. We can be happy. Right? Now they're telling us, you know, who's the richest man in the world now?
Elon Musk.
Elon Musk became the richest man last year. Late last year, early this year. He overtook everyone. Bill Gates, everyone. Elon Musk. Yeah, Jeff Bezos was. Yeah, but then Elon Musk surpassed him. So Elon, he has some good sentiments. You know, and one of his sentiments is the world is overpopulated. So we've got to get to Mars so we can repopulate. he's building his own rocket ships and everything. Like, it's all happening. So we'll see what happens. But what's the mentality? Okay, it's not working here. We can work it out. We can work, don't worry, we'll work it out. That's everyone's motto on the truth. Oh, we're not happy here, we'll just go to Mars and then we'll all be happy. It's like, you think it's going to be better on Mars? Right? They're going to have to build like big, domes. And we all live in something. Who wants to live inside a dome? Who wants to live inside a dome? You know, you can run around the dome. Like when COVID happened, last year, what year was it? That's when it started. So 2020 is when they won't get anything out. Yeah. What year was that?
21.
So last year, you know, when everything locked down, I met one Nanda brought him to that retreat at the farm a few months ago. One of those boys. So whenever he locked down, he was in India. I think Varanasi, I think he was there. And they said to him, he was in an ashram, and they said, we're going to lock the ashram, quite a big ashram, a few acres. We're going to lock it. So make your decision now, are you staying? Because if you stay, you'll be here for months, or you go out and you do what you want. So he said, okay, I'll stay, because obviously he couldn't get back to Australia quickly. So he stayed. So he told me he's locked in the ashram, a few acres, you know, just big wall. And he said he would do laps on the roof, you know, you just run up and down for exercise. So imagine that, just run, okay, turn around, run back. Okay, turn around, run back. Okay, turn around. It's not very pleasant. Yeah. But that's what people think. Oh, you know, if that's not working, we'll do that. But you can't enjoy it in the material world. That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching us. Only foolish people think they can enjoy it. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, we try to find peace within the desert of material life. Prabhupada would say this. He was quoting, I think it was Prabodhananda Saraswati once again. Family, friends, and society, Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says, we think we can get happiness with family, with friends, and with society. So how is that going for everyone so far? What's your family like? I mean, if your family are devotees and they're fixed, okay, it's probably different. And even that, I would suggest it's probably not working. You know, unless you've worked out a way to make it really good, which means you have to be very Krishna conscious. But generally, people take shelter of family, but most devotees I know, their families are disasters. Not their like devotional family, but outside. There's so many problems and pressures. And then friendship. It's hard to get real friends in this material world. Right? It's hard to get a real friend. Right? Someone who you can really rely on. I was speaking to someone yesterday actually, and he said, I can only trust in this planet that many people. No more than that. And I said, but yeah, it's like that. But actually, it's not like that for me. You know, I've got okay, some people I can trust, right? And they're devotees. Right? I've got people I can trust, right? Many, 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 many I can trust, right? It's rare in this material world to find people you can actually trust, right? Because the non-devotees, they will always turn on each other. Prabhupada said actually they had no good qualities. No good qualities. He said to Indrajumna Swami, he said, no, the non-devotees had no good qualities. And you know, the son is looking, he's very young devotee. He just looked at Prabhupada's son. And Prabhupada said, do you understand? And he just looked at Prabhupada's son. Prabhupada said again, do you understand? What does it mean that non-devotees have no qualities? Of course, non-devotees have good qualities. They're not all just bad demons. But if you stay only on the material platform, your good qualities eventually they will disappear by association. And then you'll develop negative qualities. But for a devotee, the good qualities can increase and increase and become more purified, actually. So unless you're connected to the bhakti shakti, to the daivi prakriti, the internal potency, then you will have problems. So real friends are only devotees. Devotees are your real friends. They're actually your family. They're actually your society, your social network. Right? Otherwise, the non-devotees, they just cause problems. Okay? Non-devotee problem. I tell you, be problem. So, Prabhupada says, it is repeatedly said in different shastras that there is no pleasure in this material world. That's why we have to read. That's why we have to hear every day. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya, that's the program. Because you have to hear all the time. You can't enjoy here. Otherwise, you hear it. It actually says people become detached in three places. Where are the three places you become detached? The crematorium. Right? So if someone you know or you love is on fire, right? Just like now in India, big problem. Now they can't even keep up with the cremations, right? That's when you become detached. When someone's at the funeral, everyone becomes detached. They become reflective. And you hear everyone starting to talk reflective. We talk about this every day. When they get to the funeral, everyone starts, life is actually temporary. Yeah. Oh, we should. Whenever you go to a funeral, you know, I see my family members. You know, my grandmother passed away or something, and then I go, family members you haven't seen for a number of years. And life is so temporary, we have to spend more time together. And I'm always like, yeah, no problem, yeah. But nothing happens. Everyone leaves the funeral 1 week later, they forget everything. And, you know, I'll come and visit you. You know, I haven't seen you in 10 years. And they always say, is everyone becomes reflected at the crematorium? What's the other place you become detached?
Hospital.
Yeah, the hospital. Right? You go into the hospital, people become detached. Right? It's horrible. People are suffering so much. Right? There's so much suffering. So you become detached when you're in the hospital. Right? Or you're in the old person's home. I went to see my grandmother 15 years ago. I think the old person's home. Like, I remember walking out just feeling detached. These people are suffering. You know, there's horrible suffering. The material body, just when it gets old, it can, you know, if you don't look after it, then when you get older, you can really cause a lot of suffering. So you become detached in the hospital, at the funeral, and?
In the
Bhagavatam class. This is the other place you become detached. We're all detached right now, aren't we? But when we walk out, what will happen with the rest of the day? You go on Harinam, and then you're chanting down the street, you look up, and there's a big billboard. And then Maya hits your consciousness. Even in the Harinam, you can become affected. When material energy is very powerful. You have to take shelter of daily prakriti. That's a process, actually. That's a process. Because at the moment, we're in two prakritis. We're in Mahamaya and the internal potency simultaneously. Part of us is in the internal potency. We're attracted to Krishna. But there's another part of us that's still very attracted to the other side as well. So it takes time to become purified, become fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So then, Prabhupada says, as we go further into the purport, the material world will oblige us to change bodies and enter another atmosphere full of miserable conditions. So people think like that. If I go to a different planet, I'll be happy. If I go to a different country, I'll be happy. If I go to a different temple, I'll be happy. Prabhupada said, it's a Bengali saying, even if you go to Swaga, Swaga means heavenly planet. It's nice there. It's nice there. And so the weather's good all the time. The fruits never go off. You don't get like bad bananas or... Swaga is good, right? It's first class, right? But it says, there's one big guy saying, even if you go to Swaga, your forehead gets there before you. Right? So your forehead, whenever you walk into a room, it gets there before you. Right? In other words, your karma is already there when you get there. If you go to Swaga, it's not perfect. You know, sometimes the demons attack. You know, everyone's just, Swaga's just relaxed. You know, you do some judges in the morning, they're all devotees. You know, everyone wears tilak and they do judges in the morning, everything's nice. But then the rest of the day you can just cruise. You know, there's not much going on, just, you know, what's for lunch? Do you want to go for a swim? You know, it's like being on holiday, perpetually. But then, imagine you're there, and then next minute you just see this dark cloud coming. Right? And the Asuras have decided to rally and to attack. Right? And then it's, you know, so even there it's not perfect. That's an entry into the world. Right? So we have to become serious. There's only one answer to everything. Prabhupada says, go back home, back to Godhead. That's it. If you get there, then the problem is solved. Otherwise, everything here will be problems. TK? Yeah. Okay. Any questions or comments about the material world, Nikki? Any questions, comments, anyone? Anyone in cyberland? Yes, cool.
Well, Steve was
COVID situation and India, we're seeing people trying to make money out of dead bodies even while from cremation. We've had a lot of devotees have difficulties while cremate their parents.
Because they're charging a lot.
Well, sometimes they charge and they don't even let them in, so they cheat. So people are, why people in a holy land have become like this, and what's the cause of all? Because people here, they might be needy, that's what I see, people who are good, they're honest at least, to a certain extent.
Mm. It's a very nice question, very good point. Okay, so everyone heard the question. How come this is so funny? So, yeah, the question is very good. Everyone heard the question. Sorry, just what I was going to say, so I'm just trying to find it in the data. What are they called? Database or the memory bank or what are they called?
In the cloud.
In the cloud, yeah. In the cloud. Yeah, I had what I was going to say. For some reason, Krishna's lifted it out. I'm just trying to re-find it again. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but one thing is that Chanakya says. Okay, now I remember what I was going to say. One thing when Chanakya says is that poverty breeds all bad qualities. Okay? So this is one important thing. Because in India, there is severe mismanagement. And like you said in the West, even like the mediators and all this thing, but people, there's more trust in the West. I will generalize it. You know, especially down at the farm, we deal with a lot of country people. Generally, they're very nice to deal with. People don't try to rip you off. No, I mean, a little bit, but not, you know, it's not. But in India, you're just on guard all the time. You know, everyone's trying to rip you off constantly. So a lot of that's because of poverty. Why is the poverty there? Because the leadership is useless. Right? Was there poverty in Yudhishthira's rule? You know, you've got people like Yudhishthira, that kind of caliber. You need someone like that to rule India. The India is a special place. You really need that powerful. You know, Modi's doing something. Yeah, but then, if you look around the back, there's some other stuff there that's not very good either. So, there should not be poverty. That can be abolished by a good leader. Right, so then people don't have to get into this mood of like, you know, everyone's ripping everyone off. It just creates like negative qualities. So that's one thing. The other point is that my Guru Maharaj, he said this many years ago. Actually, Prabhupada said, India is the home of Dharma. Right? There's no spiritually more progressed place on the planet. I think everyone will agree. Even most people on the planet will agree. It's the most spiritually evolved place. But if you're living there and you're neglecting Krishna's teachings, you know, you're not like, you know, everyone says, Gita, Ma, Gita, I will tell you Gita, Ma. I've been on trains in India many times. And people are like, Gita, And they say, in the Gita, and when they say it, I say, where does Krishna say that? Seriously. Like sometimes he doesn't even say it. Or they just take one line. Do your duty. Yeah, he says do your duty, but before he says it, he says, but give the results to me. Alright, so it's like I don't want to quote one part or whatever. So if you're in the home of Dharma, you're neglecting Dharma, then the reactions become worse. Like, you know, the Western people, at least they don't know. So, you know, the karma's coming. But then you're in the place of Dharma. You're rejecting, not even following the teachings, and the reactions are much more severe. So this is also causing the population to suffer more, because India suffers more in general. I mean, life is not. Yeah, if you want to go, you only go there for spirituality, for tapasya, actually. It's the land of tapasya. It's not the land of enjoyment. Yeah, nothing works. Yeah, I was there in 1999 at Chalpati. I was speaking to Radha Krishna Prabhu. He was the temple president at the time, one of the temple presidents. So I was speaking to Prabhu. And it was 1 month, I think, before Y2K. you know, before. So the whole world's a little worried watching it. I said, Prabhu, what will you do with Y2K? Something, you know, if there's a problem. He said, India's Y2K every day. So what's going to change? Everything's going to fall apart. India's already. It's chaos. Right. So nothing's going to change. So it doesn't have to be like that. If they follow Krishna's teachings and if they follow Dharma, if they live more simply as they're supposed to, practice tapasya as they're supposed to, serve Krishna as they're supposed to, the place will run very efficiently. Srila Prabhupada said India will always be 50 years behind the West. Why? Because it's not meant for that. It's not meant for material. It doesn't work. Materially, it doesn't work. Right? If you want a good thing, you go to America or Australia or something, everything just flows like, you know. India doesn't work like that. China works like that. China's over. You know, it's like, you know, Ravi Chandra lives there normally. He told me it's like, you know, trains bang on time. 300 kilometer an hour trains. They're there, and then they're gone. Like they're on time. Like, you know the limit they're coming. You know. India's like, you know, you're sitting there for like. You know, one time we were going to Puri from Calcutta. We got to Howard, and I had a group of devotees, 10 devotees. So we got there, and we were going to get on the train, and they said, "Oh no, this train is being cancelled." I said, "What are you talking?" They said, "It is the same, it is the train which is going to Puri, but it is a different train, so it is not your train." So it's on the same platform, it's going to the same place, and you can't get on it because it's not your train, you changed the train. So I'm just like looking at the guy. So obviously it's going to come down the lake, you know. So he goes, "Go and speak to the head office." So I went up to the head office, I explained the situation. He said, no, you can't get on that train. You know, same thing, it's obviously going to be. So I walk back down, the conductor's standing there, like, you know, very, you know. I just walk past him. I just said, "Everyone on the train now, the whole group." So we all just go on the train and said, you cannot sit here. I said, "We're not getting off." Right. So the train starts moving, and then he comes up and goes, "Okay, okay, show me your tickets. Show me your tickets. We just went to sleep when we got there." It's like, what is that? Yeah, you won't get that in Flinders Street, right? Yet. I mean, it will happen in the future. You know, Australia will become like that in the future. You know, after the economy progresses. So yeah, it's a CH economy. You know, if you neglect the island, then things become okay. Would you like to add something? Yes. We're seeing Kali Yuga. What we're seeing is the aggregate reaction. I watched a documentary about a month ago called Seaspiracy. Have you heard of it? Okay, so it's you could consider watching it because it really shows. And there's another one called Cowspiracy. Have you seen that one? Okay, so these two, Seaspiracy and Cowspiracy, when you watch it, you understand what's actually going on in Kali Yuga and how quickly Kali Yuga is going to escalate. And Prabhupada was 100% right. Even yesterday I was listening to Prabhupada, he said, cows, because you kill the cows. Right? That's what's the whole thing. And now what's going on in the ocean, they're killing the fish at a rate where if they keep eating the amount of fish they're eating, by 2048, the oceans are empty. And when the oceans are empty of fish, the more empty they become, the fish keep the whole balance of the ecosystem. And global warming, the carbon, is mainly regulated by the ocean. So if the ocean becomes in balance, which it is, it throws the whole ecosystem of the planet out. And we're basically going to see in our lifetime, the whole ecosystems go wrong. Unless they stop radically and quickly, which I don't think they're going to. So we're actually going to see the intense effects of Kali Yuga, I would say, in the next 30 years. So enjoy yourself. And we're already seeing that. Like, you know, every year I go to the Holy Dome, I didn't miss 23 years going to the Holy Dome every year. I can't go this year, I can't. I couldn't go last year, I might not be able to go next year. This is the heavy stuff. But we can't even just go to our place of pilgrimage and serve Krishna. It's heavy. It's testing all of us, so it's testing me a lot. You know, not to be able to just go about it one month and just like full absorption. You know, it means you have to go so much deeper in your Krishna consciousness. And this, things aren't going to change. Like, the problems we're seeing right now they're going to increase in the next couple of decades, like, quite seriously. So all of us are becoming very, like, deep. Tike? Enjoy yourselves. Yeah. We ignore the sign of the wing, that's the problem. So could you please, when you take your microphone, if you don't take it, don't take your microphone.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
Come on, and I say even though we want to follow rules and regulations and follow dharma, but as long as we live in this material world, not in material world, the second which is given to us by materialistic people, we will still suffer, right?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Like Prabhupada said, farming communities. There's a reason why he said farming communities.
Yeah, and the farming communities generally are not functioning highly, so.
I mean, this is the set of human laws by demoniac people, and we follow their rules and regulations.
Yeah.
And we try to make it on their rules.
Yeah.
And then we call the heat.
Yeah.
So even while I'm practicing my spiritual life, I still have to go and work.
In an intense situation.
And then I come back and I have to unwind and purify and go to sleep. And
yeah.
So yeah, we essentially, I'm trying to be worshipful life in the
Not ideal. Yeah, Prabhupada said, in terms of that, in terms of, because most of our is free houses, right? Fewer brahmacharis, right? So, you know. But most are not. If you look at the community in Melbourne, like what's the percentage of brahmachari? 1% maybe. Yeah, I don't know what it is, 1%. You know, it'd be great if it was 10% or 20%, but it's not. It's 1% or 2% or whatever it is. So, first one's going to be grihasthas. And then grihastha means mula. Right? No money, no grihastha. Right? Otherwise, what are you going to do with the kids? Oh, we need something to eat. Oh, so, yeah, grihastha. So then Prabhupada said the grihasthas have to form businesses together, because then you don't have to work with the non-devotees. Like in England, the devotees have a cheesecake business. So they make cheesecakes, they just sell cheesecakes, and it employs about 6 families. Great idea. Restaurants, prasadam distribution, all the rest. Okay, devotees don't want to start work. Yeah, of course it's hard work, because the material wants to start work. But that was Prabhupada's idea. The devotees form, and then you don't have to deal with them, because, you know, as soon as you get out, it's hard enough just being here, surrounded by it, but when you're dealing with it, your job in particular, yeah, what's the point? And this is not easy, because, you know, good salary, good payoff at the end, you know. So, you know, you kind of like, it's a catch-22 situation, right? It's not a favorable situation for Krishna consciousness, and yet, you know, the system's like that, so it's very difficult. So, you know, devotees, we have to develop devotee businesses. We have so much work to do. I mean, we've done so much, but there's so much more to do. We should be able to employ every grihastha. We should be able to. But that's just a challenge for us. We have to develop more and more ideas and things. There's no access, but it's just, yeah. Yeah, because if you're living in this society, we're products of the society. Why aren't the farms working? You know, Hare Krishna Valley, it's a beautiful property. It's a good preaching facility. There's a little bit of fruit production. Cows are protected very nicely. There's many, many positive things. It's nowhere near self-sufficient. Nowhere near self-sufficient. Like devotees say to me sometimes, oh, if there's problems in the world, we'll all come to the farm. What are you going to eat at the farm? We've got a paddock full of pumpkins. What are we going to do? 1,000 devotees turn up. We get one pumpkin each. And then what? You know, seriously. You know. So the problem is that because we're all conditioned, even if you go to Wada, you know, devotees have that eco village, right? It's beautiful, eco village, very progressed, very fast. But if you go to the fields, right, it's not the devotees working in the fields or milking the cows, it's the local people. Because we've all been brought up in the cities, and then we suddenly are now going around a farm. Even me, when I get there, I'm like, you know, money group for we're doing something. Because, you know, he grew up on a farm, but I don't know what to do. you know, I have to learn it and do it. And it's like, you know, I just use my skills, which is to bring people there and to teach them about Krishna. But, and if you look at like the ego drivers that go to what a fun, the brahmacharis are doing that. They're preaching and studying and all that. They're not out there doing the actual. So it's Kali Yuga is a different situation because we've all grown up in a particular way, you know, downtown Mumbai. But now you have to live self sufficiently. It's like, Kali Yuga is a difficult thing to do. That's why you see Prabhupada had the ideas of the farms. Now we have 65 of them or so around the planet. But how many are really, you know, going towards what we call something like self sufficiency? So you've probably got the eco village, you've got the one in Hungary. There's several others. Not massively progressed. And then, you know, Brazil has one which, you know, maybe bombs, and then I think Ukraine may have one. So. But out of the 65, it's probably 10 which are in Congress, the rest of them are a lot of work. Interesting. And interesting, Prabhupada said the final, I was listening the other day, and we all know he said, my final contribution is by Ashram. And then actually, just one devotee said to Prabhupada, what does that mean? What will you? He said, I will go to Gita Nagari, I will sit down, and I will teach you how to live simply. So Prabhupada was just going to sit down and say, okay, go out and do this, go out and do that, go out and do that, teach you how to live simply, grow your own fruit. That's basically by Ashram. Yeah, Kali is being jealous. And I've actually been speaking to a few devotees, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu and a few devotees, that we've got this idea, and I think this is what we should do. We should buy another large plot of land and greenhouses buy together, like, and build places and build like a little community and work with that farm, out the farm we've already got, to produce some self-sufficiency. I think we really should do that very seriously. Because things are going to crumble in this society, and maybe even very soon, maybe in the next 30 years. And we're not ready. We're not ready, so we'll see.
This Prabhupada disciple who lives in Sydney is building a community over there with land, houses and stuff, which is more Vedic style.
What's the name?
Forgot his name. It's Dharma Swami.
Okay.
He is Prabhupada disciple actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, he's doing that.
Yeah, we wish everyone full success.
Yes.
Any other question? Yeah.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhuji.
You're welcome.
My question is that when we hear that the material world is very bad, like this and that, we lose our enthusiasm in doing stuff like studies and classes. So how do we
Very good question. Very good question. For you, you are more fortunate than the other kids at your school because you're a devotee. So you have, because the only way that we can solve the problems of the world is by making everyone devotees. Right? So everyone becomes devotee, like all the kids in your school were devotees. And then everyone just eats prasadam all the time, and at lunchtime everyone does harinam, the world would be very nice. So we just have to, because you're already in a good situation, you have to learn about Krishna and help other people become devotees, and that will solve the problems. Does that help? That is. Because, yeah, what else do we have? Do your studies nicely. Concentrate on both things because you need material knowledge and spiritual knowledge. So concentrate on both. Don't put all your effort just into school. Maybe your parents will be angry when I'm saying this, I don't know. But don't put all your effort. Because I think some of the parents, they get too locked up here. They push them too hard in school. I don't think that's necessary, to be honest. Yeah, I went to school, I learned my things. What's the problem? Yeah, you've got to get a job anyway. I mean, sometimes the parents push, go to Kumon, and then go to Kumon again. And then three Kumon go on. They just did. Let them play. You know. I learned everything. you don't need to go to Kumon 7 times just alone, you know. What are you going to do with it anyway? You know, not that you're going to become something even far. So I think just become, you know, study nicely, learn things, but make sure you put enough time into devotional activities also. Do both. Is it okay? Okay. Have you ruined your life? You haven't lost all your enthusiasm? Because it is. I went to a school a couple of years ago in Geelong, and you know, this is shows what Kali was like. I think they're year 8 or year 9 or year 10, I can't remember, but the kids, you know, like 14 to 16, that kind of thing. And I said, hands up if you like have a positive vision of the future in this world. No one put their hand up. You know, that's not good. I mean, you have a positive vision in this world. What do you think of it?
I don't
know. That's a devotee, I guess.
Yes.
Just, yeah, I know it's a devotee, but I'm talking about the world. Yes, it's like, no, how crazy is society that the kids don't even have a positive future? That shows how crazy it is. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids should feel like, yeah, this is good and things are going to, you know, people aren't even thinking like that anymore. You know, so, yeah, sorry to wreck your enthusiasm about the
future.
But, there's only one good thing. This is what Bhagavad Gita says. Kale dosha nidhi raja asi yeko mahangula ketanade krishnasya mukta sangha parambrija. You know that verse? Yeah, so eka. There's one good thing, one mahaguna, one good quality. Ketanade krishnasya, chanting about Krishna. There's nothing else. Bhagavad Gita already says it. Okay. So if you have problems, just chant Hare Krishna. Even Prabhupada, you know Srila Prabhupada? Yeah. Prabhupada was in Amsterdam and he was doing a live television appearance, live, being cast. They were doing a judging and the devotees had no idea what they were doing. Right? So they're making men. Prabhupada was on the piazza, this live television, people watching. Prabhupada said, becoming angry. Hey, don't do like this. I don't know what that. And you can see Prabhupada's on television. Life, and he's becoming quite angry and quite disturbed. Now, and then at some point, Prabhupada just kind of goes back like this, like, he's just like, these guys, you know, can't work out what to do and everything. And there's one bhakta standing next to Prabhupada, and he leans over to Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, just chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada looked at him, Prabhupada went, and then Prabhupada turned and he put his hand in his feet and he went, Srila Prabhupada. Same for Prabhupada. Material world's big problem. So at the end of the day, what are the other answers? Yeah, at the end of the day, what's the answer? You know, like my brother said, he was in a plane going to Europe, 36,000 feet, and going right, and then hit turbulence. But you know, big turbulence. I don't know if you've ever been big. I've never been big. Like I've been some, but not crazy. But people have told me when you're in there, it's like really crazy, like it's scary. So I said, you know, he's devoted, he's not like it. I said to him, what did you do? He said, what else do you do? He said, you chant Hare Krishna. He was like, hey, Krishna. Or Radha song, he said he was flying in India. The plane was coming in, and then they put on the, you know, the pilot says, Hare Krishna, everyone. He didn't say that, but he said, everyone. He said, prepare for a crush landing. But imagine that. Imagine being the feeling, being in a plane, and the pilot says, okay, the wheels are not opening, prepare. Imagine. So Radha Swami said they were the best rounds of his life. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But the rest of the plane was going, ah, you know, people, they lose their minds. And Mara said, look down. Look at the runway, it was like fire trucks all along the runway and ambulances all along. And I was thinking, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that's enjoyable. At the end of the day, what's going to save you? Only the only one. Is it okay? Chant the holy name and be happy. Hare Krishna. Any other questions, comments in the universe? Okay. We'll see you all next time. Shall we go up on the
Kiva?